This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is, how do you handle it when people don't treat you right? I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you here have ever been, and this is one of those questions I already know the answer to, how many of you here have ever been mistreated by somebody else? Let me just see. Amen. How many of you have been mistreated on the job? Let me see. All right. How many of you have been mistreated by a family member? Let's see. Amen. We're still batting 1,000 here. Let's bring it on home. How many of you have ever been mistreated by somebody in the church? Uh-huh. Amen. Catch it. Christians, you will be mistreated sometimes. Amen. You will have to deal with the fact that people will not always treat you the way they should. And understand, when you are being mistreated by somebody, you are facing a situation that is vitally significant for your success in life. Because understand, when you are being mistreated, that is one of the most frustrating and painful experiences that you will go through in life. Isn't that right? When somebody's not treating you right, doesn't that hurt? Oh, yes. It's painful. And when you are being mistreated, catch this, that is a test of your testimony. Because the thing that's going to show how much of Christ is living in you is not when everything is going fine. How many of you like a compliment? Let me just see. Now, if you don't raise your hand, I'm not going to give you any, all right? Amen. Yeah. When you're being complimented and everybody's patting you on the back and telling you how good you are, isn't that nice? And you kind of feel like that's the way it ought to be. Amen. But that's not the test. You know what the test is? When somebody is getting on you and you feel like it's unfair. Somebody's not treating you the way you should be treated. Somebody's not respecting you the way you should be respected. Somebody's doing something to you that they shouldn't be doing, and they think they're right, but you know they're wrong. That's when the test is. And the way you respond to that shows what kind of testimony you have. Let's take it one step further. When we are being mistreated, we need to know we are in a battle. We are in a battle that we have to win. Because catch it, here's what's going on when you are being mistreated by somebody else in the spiritual perspective. When you are being mistreated, you are under attack. Do you know that? Satan will use that attack against you to try to defeat you spiritually when somebody is mistreating you. And if you handle it right, guess what? You move forward. Isn't that great? Amen. Amen. But if you don't handle it right, anybody have an idea what happens? Amen. Now you notice something maybe. I took one step forward.
Three steps back.
Uh-huh. Amen. When we mishandle the situation, when somebody doesn't treat us right, we take three steps back in losing the battle in our lives. What we need to deal with today is how to make sure that we don't take three steps back. Amen? Let's start with Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at what is under attack when we are mistreated. Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 14. Look at this. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Pursue peace with all people. Look at what's on the line when somebody seems to be mistreating us. Number one, it can break up our peace. The easiest way for the devil to take your peace away is to have somebody mistreat you. Isn't that right? Because we respond to that. It's bad enough when somebody does something and we know we deserve it. But when we feel like they did something to us and we don't deserve it, oh, doesn't that get to us? Amen. You can spend a week just thinking about what they did to you. No, not a week, not a month. Some people spend 20 years thinking about what somebody did to them. Amen? First thing it can do is tear up your peace. Second thing it can do, it says pursue peace with all people and holiness. When you are mistreated by somebody, it is a test of your holiness. What is holiness? The word holy means to be separated unto God. Separated from the world unto God. What does that mean? Instead of walking the way the world walks, what? We walk as God walks. Isn't that right? And so when somebody mistreats you, your holiness is under attack because you're going to find out whether you are going to walk like God walks or walk like everybody else walks when they get mistreated. Your peace is under attack. Your holiness is under attack. Look at that verse again. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Oh, catch it. When somebody is mistreating us, the very operation of the grace of God in our lives is under attack. The grace of God. What is grace? The unmerited favor of God. Amen. God's ability to pour into our lives his blessings that we don't even deserve. Catch it. When somebody mistreats us, what's on the line, depending on the way we react and respond, is whether or not God is going to be able to pour his grace into our lives. Look at what it says again. Lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, causing trouble, and by this many become defiled. We can get bound up in bitterness when somebody mistreats us. And if we allow that to happen, we will be defiled. Can you see that this is serious business? Amen? This is serious business. Understand, the issue is not whether or not we as Christians are going to be mistreated. I can promise you, you will be. Now, I'm going to do my best not to mistreat you. Amen? And your brothers and sisters here today are going to do their best not to mistreat you. Amen? Guess what? You're going to feel like you're mistreated anyway. Amen? Should I do this? Okay, I'm going to do this. How many of you who are married have ever felt like you were mistreated by your mate? Let me just see. Uh-huh. Amen. No. Amen. All right. Now catch it. Let's go forward on the assumption that your mate loves you. Amen. They didn't intend to mistreat you. But for whatever was going on in their life, for whatever was happening in the home, for whatever the situation was with your family or with their job or with your kids or whatever it was, for whatever reason, what they said, what they did came across to you as you being mistreated. You're going to have to deal with being mistreated in life. Christians are not exempt. I'll go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Here's the guarantee that you will have to deal with being mistreated if you are a Christian. Jesus himself told us that mistreatment will come if you are a Christian, if you're living for him. Look at this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. People are going to mistreat you. Jesus said, if they mistreated me, why would you think they will not mistreat you? What to a large extent is going to determine our success or failure in life as a Christian is how we respond when we are mistreated. Because think about it. What happens when we feel like somebody has not treated us right? Well, it arouses emotions, fear, anger, frustrations. And when we get those emotions, what do we feel like doing? Striking back. Isn't that right? Retaliating against that person. That's what's normal. That's the natural reaction when we feel as if we have been mistreated. October 31st, 1993. The Lennox down in Florida were watching TV. Michael was 63. His wife Marlene was 60. And they admitted that they had been drinking a little bit. Anyway, they were sitting watching TV and she was watching the news. And now this is sometimes a male thing here. He got up, went and switched the channel to watch the Dallas-Philadelphia game. Now I'm not going to ask any men how many times you've done that on your wife. Amen. Was that mistreatment? Was that mistreatment, ladies? That was mistreatment. She felt it was mistreatment. So you know what she did? She went and got her .38 and she put two bullets into him. Now, he survived and he told the police later on he wasn't afraid for his life. You know, she didn't really mean to hurt him. But what was going on? It was the spirit of retaliation. When somebody mistreats you, you feel like retaliating at that person. And she just happened to have a gun handy. Amen. Now, let's see how honest we are this morning. How many of us have ever been mistreated by somebody and we didn't have a gun handy, but we felt like it? If there had been one, we would have felt like it. How many? Come on, let me just see. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now catch it. That is all normal and natural. That is what happens out of our flesh. It desires to retaliate. How do we retaliate when somebody mistreats us? What's the number one weapon we use to retaliate when somebody mistreats us? It's not a 38. What is it? Here it is. Amen. Amen. For some of us, our tongue is not a 22. It's not even a 38. It's going on up a 45. What comes after 45? Cannon. Amen. That's the number one way we retaliate when somebody seems to be mistreating us. And understand, Christian, there is no difference in God's sight between a 38 and this weapon in your mouth. If we retaliate when somebody mistreats us, we are just like that woman who pulled out a gun and shot her husband. God says it's all the same because it's the spirit of retaliation. Who do you think it is that wants us to go back at somebody who mistreats us the same way they came at us? You think that's God or is it the devil? Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Here's God's standard. Romans 12, 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Do not retaliate. But rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. God says we have no right to retaliate. We need to leave it with him and he'll take care of it. Amen. The spirit of retaliation when people don't treat you right is one of the devil's greatest weapons to get us out of position for God's blessings. We've been in a series of messages from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. That talks about being positioned for blessing. And the key verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is verse 17. It says, you will not need to fight this in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And the key concept that we've been working with from that verse is that of getting ourselves into position. God says, I want to fight the battle for you, but if you are not in the right position, God can't fight the battle. Amen? And so this whole series of messages has been about being correctly positioned for God to fight our battles for us. And understand, one of the quickest ways the devil can get us out of position so that God cannot fight the battle is for us to mishandle it when somebody mistreats us. So today, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we want to learn some lessons from King Jehoshaphat on the right way, the godly way, to handle it when people don't treat you right. Go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You remember the story. King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah were living peacefully. And suddenly somebody came to the king and told him that a huge army from the people of Moab and of Ammon and others besides them were coming up to fight against them. And we already looked at what Jehoshaphat did. It says in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 20, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. The first thing I want you to see, when the threat came, Jehoshaphat feared, but he did not just react. Instead, he set himself to seek the Lord. Here's the first principle. When somebody doesn't treat you right, don't react. Respond. Don't react. Respond. What's the difference between reacting and responding? When somebody doesn't treat you right, what do you feel? You feel like going back at them. Amen? Let me just see. If I were to walk up and slap you in the face this morning, how many of you would at least feel like slapping me right back? Let me just see. Amen. Amen. How many of you would do it? No, don't answer that. All right. Now catch it. What is that? That's almost an automatic reaction, isn't it? If somebody attacks you, whether it's physical or whether it's verbal or whatever it is, we have an almost automatic reaction of wanting to retaliate, wanting to hit back. And understand, what Jehoshaphat learned, what he knew was, the first thing is not to react. Look at what was happening to Jehoshaphat. Go over to verse 10. Look at how he felt about this situation. Jehoshaphat is praying to the Lord now. Verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 20, look at this. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Do you see how Jehoshaphat was feeling about this? He was saying, look, God, we blessed these people. We left them alone. We didn't bother them. Everybody else, you told us to run out of the land and we ran them out. But you allowed these people to stay here. We didn't molest them. So how are they repaying us? They're coming at us to try to knock us out. Oh God, it's not fair. It's wrong. These people are repaying our kindness by coming at us and trying to destroy us. You ever felt like that? You've been kind to somebody, and instead of them repaying you with kindness, they come back and repay you with anger or something else, and you go, was it even worth it? See, Jehoshaphat was feeling fear and anger and frustration at these people. He's saying, they are mistreating us. But what was the first thing Jehoshaphat did? Did he go gather the army and run out and say, we gotta defeat these people? Uh-uh. They're not going to do that to us. This is not right. This is not fair. Is that what he did? No. He set himself to seek the Lord. Understand this. When somebody mistreats you, your flesh is going to want to retaliate right now. Amen? Proverbs 15:1 says this. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. When somebody mistreats you, what kind of answer do you feel like giving? A soft answer? No, what? A harsh answer. In fact, what did your mama teach you? Somebody hit you, what are you supposed to do? Hit them back. Hit them back, amen. Hit them back so hard they'll never come back, amen. Isn't that right? And some of us have gotten very good. Somebody starts saying something, doing something to us, we don't knock them down with our fists, but we can knock them down with our tongue. Amen? And the Bible says, when we take that weapon of the tongue to try to come back and retaliate against somebody who's not treating us right, a harsh answer stirs up what? Peace? What does it stir up? Anger, strife, wrath. In other words, it just makes the situation worse. I come back at you with a harsh answer because I think you're mistreating me. And when my harsh answer hits your ears, what do you hear? I'm mistreating you. So what do you come back with? A harsher answer. And it just goes on and on and on. And so the Bible says that if we are to have peace, we can't go the way our flesh desires to go. Don't run off to fight with your natural weapons of the flesh, trying to return an answer that will stop people from mistreating you. Understand it. Jehoshaphat was smart. He knew he did not have the weapons to defeat this army. And if he had tried to defeat the army with the weapons he had, he would have lost. Now, some of us think that we have the weapons to defeat people who are trying to mistreat us. We think we can use our tongue. We think we can use our attitude. Have any of you ever retaliated? You didn't do it with your tongue. You didn't do it with your fist. You just got an attitude. I mean, you felt like, and don't talk about husbands and wives, okay? Let's don't do that. Yeah, let's do it. Husband or wife feels like they've been mistreated. They get an attitude. They sulk. They go sit someplace, won't talk. You know, I've heard of husbands and wives that have not talked to one another for a month. Amen? Why? You don't think of that, but that's an attempt to retaliate. I'll show her. She won't talk to me that way? I'm just not going to talk. Come in and get my meal and go home. Or go home. You are home, amen. Go in my place and watch TV, amen. All right. We have all kinds of different ways of trying to retaliate, but they are all the same in God's sight. And if you try to use that as a weapon, you will not win. If Jehoshaphat had got focused on what these people were trying to do to him, if he had gotten caught up in all the resentment and anger and frustration at the unfairness of it all, and if he had reacted to that, he would have lost the battle. If you let your emotions carry you, they will take you into a place where you cannot get God to fight the battle for you. You know what the devil wants when you are being mistreated? He wants you to try to use the same weapons that that person is using against you. Because guess what? They're the devil's weapons. Any of you remember the movie Shane, Western movie? Anybody remember that? Now there's a scene in that movie. I think this is like the cattleman against the settlers kind of deal. And the cattleman hired a gunfighter, Jack Palance, right? And there's this one scene in the movie where the settler goes into town. And Jack Palance, he's up on the sidewalk there, and the settler's down there in the mud walking along. And Jack Palance is walking with him and insulting him and taunting him and provoking him. Now, do you know why? Anybody have an idea why? To get him to the point where the settler gets so provoked, so fed up with all of this mistreatment, that he'll go for his gun. And I remember the scene. Probably most of you guys saw it, right? He finally gets provoked into going for his gun. And he goes, And by the time, of course, he even gets to his gun, Polanski has got his gun out, right? And so the poor guy's standing there, and he sees that he's got the drop on him, and the action kind of stops for a moment. He can't even get his gun up. And finally, Jack Polanski just goes ahead and blows him away. Do you know that's what the devil is trying to do to you every time somebody mistreats you? You see, what happened to that settler? He tried to use the weapons of the enemy. And the enemy was a lot better at using his weapons than the settler was. Isn't that right? Now, what are the weapons that Satan wants to use against you? What is the devil? Number one, we know he's a liar. Amen? Do you know that the devil will mistreat you by having people lie on you? Amen? He will have people lie on you. He will have people tell awful stories about you. And you know what would make him more happy than anything else is if you tried to use the same weapon back at them. He'll have people call your names. He'll have people go around and do some behind the back stuff. And he would be so happy if he could just get you to try to pull that same gun out of your holster. Why? Because he's been doing this a long time. Amen? His folks are well practiced at the use of their weapons. And you as a Christian, you should not be well practiced at lying and telling stories on people. Amen? I hope you don't know how to do that too well. I hope you don't know how to speak evil of people too well. Amen? And so if you try to use the same weapons that the devil has used on you, you will lose the battle. So you need to learn not to react out of your flesh, out of your emotions, but to respond by first going to God. Proverbs 14:17 says this, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. Amen? A quick-tempered man acts foolishly when we allow our emotions to cause us to react to somebody not treating us right. We will act foolishly. Well, what did Jehoshaphat do? Look at verse 20 of 2 Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat saw these people coming against them unfairly. And instead of just reacting and getting all upset and angry and frustrated and running off trying to fight the battle, he turned to God. Mm-hmm. And look at what he said. 2 Chronicles 20:12. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Do you see it? Jehoshaphat, when he was faced by people trying to mistreat him, instead of going back at them the way they came at him, he turned to God and said, God, these people are wrong, but I'm not going to try to handle it myself. God, you judge them. You judge them.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Dairy or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.